Welcome to the Life Self-Mastery podcast, where we bring in entrepreneurs who have created online businesses and improved their lifestyles. Here's your host, Rohit Malhotra.
Hi everyone, I'm Rohit from LifeSelfMastery.com. And today I'm excited to have Savas Sautakis, who's the founder of Viral Loops, a viral and referral marketing platform. In the past, Savas has started one of the first growth marketing agencies, Growth Rocks. Welcome to the show, Savas.
Hi, Rohit. I'm so happy to be here today.
So tell me about your story and how did you get into entrepreneurship and why did you choose growth marketing?
6 years ago, I used to work for a marketing automation company based in France. We were targeting back then mainly enterprise. I was helping companies like BMW, Mercedes, and big retailers. But then I met up with a few startups and then a few entrepreneurs. I wanted to do something on my own, basically, because I wasn't a big fan of working in another company, at least with a corporate environment. So I decided to leave the company, and together with my CEO, we made one of the first growth marketing agencies called Growth Rocks, as you mentioned, and that happened around 4 years ago. So this is how everything started. I think for me, it was really helpful that my CEO decided to join me and do something together because he had a lot of experience, a lot of insights, and helped me. Actually, it's something like a co-founder, a partner, a mentor. He's Theodore Moulos. So this is how we started with Growth Rocks. And then after working with him and helping in a lot of marketing projects, we started thinking of a tool, which I will share with you later on how we did it.
That's my next question. You know, how did you come up with the idea of Viral Loops? Since you're already working on a growth marketing agency, was it a byproduct of a problem you're trying to solve for other people?
We came up with the idea after working again with our clients. So when you start a business, a startup, a new business, a small business, that you want to grow it as fast as possible, get new customers, and most of the times you don't have an unlimited budget, right? So you're looking for new ways to acquire new customers and also to make sure that your customer acquisition cost makes sense because you don't want to get out of business. So we were doing a lot of things for our clients, like running paid advertising, pre-launch campaigns, optimizing their funnel like activation and retention, but they were always looking for new ways to acquire new customers and don't just rely on the traditional channels like Facebook ads, Google ads, which of course helps you to scale. But for example, if you're a new product and you want to get to product market fit, you don't want to go with paid advertising. So what we were doing back then, we were working on how they can enable word of mouth, referral marketing, ambassador marketing, and mainly, you know, this channel as a meaningful acquisition for their business. So we were creating custom concepts for them using other tools and other platforms, which some of them are right now our competitors. But what we were doing back then is that we were, you know, every tool that we could find out there, it was just a tool, just an enabler that you should come up with a concept and then use this tool to build it. Because it's totally different story when you're building a referral marketing campaign, for example, for an e-commerce store, rather than building a campaign for a software as a service business or for a B2B business. This tool gives you the platform, the tools. They don't give you the concept. So the idea was that what if we can take all of our marketing expertise, all of our growth hacking expertise, put it in a platform and give it to small and medium businesses. So this is how we came up with the idea to create a template-based platform and use the success stories of referral marketing campaigns from companies like Dropbox, Airbnb, and Harris. So this is how we started with that.
You talked about brands like Airbnb, Harris, you know, Uber, who've used viral marketing. So, but for listeners, you know, who are building online businesses, can you simply tell them, you know, how viral marketing really, really works and, you know, how can it really help them grow?
So first of all, you need to identify the objective that you have. So you can use referral marketing, for example, if you want to build your email list faster. And one of the greatest examples that we've seen is the referral marketing campaign that The Hustle runs, which is a publisher based in New York. So if you can just go to thehustle.co, you can see how it works. And the main idea there is that when somebody subscribes to your email list, they can join your ambassador program and they can get different perks like t-shirts or exclusive content or free tickets to events and other rewards if they invite more friends to join your email list. So the more friends they invite to join your email list, the better perks they unlock. And this is the milestone referral program, as we call it. Another, let's say, simpler referral program is what Dropbox does. So basically, if you invite a friend that downloads Dropbox and installs it, then you can both get some free space as a reward. So this is the both-sided Dropbox-style referral program. Basically, you can use word of mouth and referral marketing if you want to grow your email list, to take more signups for, let's say, your web app or your mobile app, or even drive more sales for your e-commerce store.
If a business wants to get the first 1,000 customers, do you think viral and referral marketing is the right way to for them to get to 1,000 customers? Or it's more about content marketing and, you know, we're doing guest posting, or you would need to know more about the industry and you can give an advice on that?
First of all, I believe that you should not rely just on one marketing channel. So you should focus, let's say, on one up to three marketing channels, but at the same time, you should be experimenting with a few more, maybe one or two. Of course, content marketing can help you get to the first 1,000 to 2,000 customers. But what you can do, for example, is that, and we see a lot of case studies from that, is that before you launch your product, you can run a pre-launch campaign like Robinhood did, which is an app that you can use for making trading without fees. And basically, they had a pre-launch campaign with a waiting list. And if you wanted to get earlier access than other people, you had to invite more friends to jump off the waiting list, to climb up the waiting list. So one approach is that you can run this kind of campaigns that you can gather, let's say, you can generate more awareness, email subscribers and leads and not actual customers. And then you should have a content marketing engine in place, which through email marketing, consisting content on your blog, on guest posting, you can take these leads and convert them to actual customers. Because for example, if you're a B2B company, most of the times, the buy now approach doesn't work, so you need to nurture them. On the other hand, if you're a B2C company or a product like, you know, that you're targeting consumers, then I believe that referral marketing can definitely work for you and directly for app downloads, for free users, or even, you know, buy something from your website. For example, a very nice tactic would be to leverage a Facebook group or an Instagram account, combine those with a referral marketing strategy to amplify the effect of your content on social media.
So, you know, I'm going to talk about viral loops and any customers. So who would be the ideal customer for viral loops and how many customers do you have on your platform?
We have a broad range of customers, but the ones that we see a lot of success are mainly B2C companies like e-commerce stores and retailers. They can drive a lot of sales for them through referrals. But we also have some software as a service companies and B2B companies that use our product in a different way. And instead of trying to get direct sales, they use our product to grow their email list and amplify their content marketing. So just to give you some examples, Product Hunt, which is one of the biggest tech communities in the world. They use viral loops in order to generate more ebook downloads, but at the same time, they use us for their ambassador programs. So people can invite their friends if they want to earn stickers and Product Hunt t-shirts and socks. And also, we have a lot of agencies that use our product for their customers, and they sell marketing services on top of our product. So this is something that Banff Media, one of the fastest growing growth marketing agencies, does. They're based in the US. So this is the type of customers that we have. Now, regarding numbers, we have around 400 customers and around 3 to 4,000 websites that run on viral loops. I think it's somewhere, yeah. Right now, it's close to 4,000 websites.
How much do they pay in a year for a subscription to viral loops product?
Yeah, it really depends. So our model is based on how big you are. So our pricing is value-based, meaning that if you're just starting out, you can start even with a pre-launch campaign from $49. But if you're a growing business, you can get up to $100. But we also have customers that pay us even $1,000 per month because they're quite big.
I want to talk about your projected revenue for this year and, you know, if you have any acquisition cost for getting these customers on board.
One principle that we followed since we started is that we didn't want to go with any paid advertising because we believe that if you want to see if your product makes sense, at least in the B2B space, I'm not talking about B2C because it's a different story. We didn't do any paid advertising rather than, you know, $500 per month on some targeting. So we reached product market fit without any paid advertising, and we tried to build all of our growth through content marketing. So we do a lot of guest posts, we write a lot of posts on our blog, we publish ebooks. And the second main tactic that we follow is that we build very good relationships with other marketers that spread the word about our product. So we give them our product, you know, at least for the beginning to try it out for free, and then they can use it for their customers and make money out of it. Actually, this is how we enable word of mouth to work for Varloops. And the reason I'm saying this is that this is how we manage to keep our customer acquisition cost very low. So we may pay, I don't know, it depends from the channel, but from $50 to $80 per customer. And a lot of times we may pay them for $30 or $40. So it's quite low, given also how long they stay in the service. But we know that in the near future, when we're ready to scale, we're going to try also maybe paid channels like Facebook ads, Google ads. But we still test the unit economics and we see that makes sense. But right now, it's around $40 to $50.
You had raised money from VC. So why did you go on to raise money, and how big is your team right now?
Varloops started as an in-house project in GrowthRocks. And then the reason we decided to spin off the company and raise some capital is because we wanted to get it off the ground as fast as possible. So we raised the first seed round of $250,000. It was just a kickstart because we also bootstrapped it in the beginning. Right now, we're about to break even in the next 3 months. Our team is 16 people at the moment, and we're split, you know, half of the team are engineers and the rest of the team, we have marketing, sales and customer success, and of course, product. Yeah, so pretty much this is it at the moment. And we're planning to go for Series A in the next 6 months.
You know, running a remote company can become difficult at times. So what are the best tools you would think a remote company would need to sync with their employees?
Yeah, we're a distributed team based in London, Greece, and the US. So we work in different time zones. The first tool that we use is Slack, and we use it heavily. One principle that we have is that we try to avoid private messaging as much as possible. And we prefer to have everything in public channels because this is how everybody can be in sync. And these channels are searchable. So for example, imagine that I talk with a team member, but then another team member may start to work 4 hours later. So if we keep this conversation private, the other team member won't be able to be in sync. So we try to do that. The second tool that we use a lot is Zoom for our calls because we tried almost everything, but I think it's the most robust solution out there. We truly love it. And then for project management, we use Jira for our software development and Asana for the rest of the projects.
How would you engage or retain your customers? Do you think people who come from viral word of mouth and all, is it difficult to engage and retain them since they've got the benefit of joining that platform?
We have a lot of mechanisms and tools to retain our customers. So one of the things that we do is that we try to predict actually when a customer is about to stop using Varloops. And we do that through several metrics like the usage of the product, the performance of their campaigns. And based on these metrics, we have several triggers that either we send them content like useful blogs or we try to re-engage them. And we even have a customer success team that if we see, for example, that somebody is not successful through Varloops, we have some calls with them to help them get their campaign off the ground, improve the performance and move forward with them.
Growth marketing is a pretty new concept. So how's traditional marketing different from growth marketing? Are there any similarities between them?
So for me, the main difference, it's because it's a debate and a question that I have a lot of times. The main difference is that traditionally marketers used to focus on the top of the funnel, and their targets were to drive traffic, awareness, more reach. But then that changed after a lot of digital products like mobile apps and tech startups came up to Silicon Valley. And marketers realized that product is a very core factor of growth of marketing. And they started to delve into analytics, product changes, changing the onboarding. So they had to learn, let's say, from product management to product design to UX design to analytics. So it's a bigger, let's say, spectrum of things that you should know. And there are a lot of people that say, for example, that product is the new marketing, right? So I think for me, growth marketing, it's a shift from traditional marketing, mainly because there are digital products that you can change them very quickly. Because if you think about it, you know, traditional marketers couldn't affect the product so much because they used to sell, you know, things like food, like hardware, like furniture. And these things, you can't affect them because you have a production and then you make a change, let's say, in 6 months or 3 months. On the contrary, when you're selling a software as a service platform, an e-commerce store, you can change the product in a day, right? So I think this is why everything happened. This is why the shift actually took place.
And does anyone need to know coding to do growth hacking or growth marketing?
The more familiar you are with engineering, the better for you and you can be more competitive, but definitely it's not a requirement. So if you don't know how to write an API or a backend system, it doesn't matter at all. But what you should know is that you should be able, let's say, to make a change on your WordPress site or to understand what a snippet code is or what is a JavaScript code. And this will give you the possibility to make changes on your own, right? So you can install a tool, you can play with a tool, you can configure it. So it's more, let's say, of basic engineering and technical understanding rather than coding. And the second thing I believe for marketers, it's always good to understand a bit of front end like HTML and CSS, because this will help you to run faster experiments in terms, let's say, of A/B testing or tweaking a landing page or adding a new tool. And the third factor regarding coding and engineering is that you should have the engineering, let's say, mentality for running your experiments, for measuring your experiments. And again, it doesn't mean that you should be a coder.
Can anyone learn about growth marketing? A lot of people think, you know, only the product guys can, or the marketing guys. But do you think, since it's newer way of hacking and growing your audience, do you think anybody can learn growth hacking?
Of course, as I mentioned, what is growth hacking is how you can grow a product or service in a smart way that you can outrun your competitors in a, let's say, limited budget. So it doesn't mean that you will hack, you know, other people, but you have to think out of the box, have a very specific framework and process of how you experiment with all of the marketing channels and then go for it. So how you can learn it is that first you need to learn the foundations, and the foundations are the basics, are copywriting, are psychology. So you need to understand how people behave. For example, for, you know, psychology, I love two books. One is called Hooked, that can give you an understanding of how people engage with other products and why people are retained to use other products. And another really interesting book is about behavioral economics. It's called Predictably Irrational and can give you a lot of ideas about psychology and marketing. And then you should learn the basics of marketing, which is, let's say, as I mentioned, copywriting, search engine optimization, Facebook ads. You can, you know, identify all of these areas and learn a bit of everything, but then you should nail and go really deep to one up to two marketing skills. So for example, you could say that I will be an expert in virality and referral marketing, or I will be an expert in email marketing and A/B testing. And then you start working on projects, on startups, and this is how you become a growth marketer. It's always by practice.
Do you think there are some companies which are doing growth hacking the right way? And can you mention some of these companies?
One of my favorites is Mailshake, which is run by Sujan Patel, who is a great marketer. And what I really like about him is that he always come up with frameworks. So a few days ago, I was in Belgium because I was speaking at the growth conference, and he presented it a framework on how you can retain customers. He calls it the 6 C's and gives you basically a routine you can follow for talking to your customers, for measuring your net promoter score, for having calls with them. So a lot of things. So I really like with what I really like and Sujan, and you know, the takeaway from that is that you should come up with frameworks and experiment very fast. So Sujan, what he does, he comes up with a tactic, then he tries to make a framework, and then if it works, he systemizes the whole process. So I think it's a very good example. And another company, let's say for the later stage, I really like how Airbnb works. So they have small teams with small growth teams. They consist from different people like growth engineers, data engineers, designers, and marketers. And there is a really cool guy that shares a lot of knowledge called John Egan, which is a growth engineer at Airbnb. And what I really like with them is that they have a very, let's say, data-driven approach.
Let's quickly do the top three. What's your favorite business book?
I think that one book that can help every single entrepreneur is called The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. Because, you know, we all know that if you start a business, it's not easy at all. It may sound sexy, but it's really hard. So I think that this book can help you, you know, understand what it takes if you want to make a real business. So I really love this book.
If you could go back in time when you started Viral Loops, what is the one thing you would have focused on or done anything differently?
I think we did a ton of mistakes. So I could have a podcast, you know, telling you my mistakes. But I think, you know, something that comes up to my mind is that we didn't focus on customer success early on. So what I would strongly recommend to every single B2B company is that you should focus on customer success and not customer support from the very beginning, and build a framework on how, you know, you measure retention, how you keep in touch all the time with your customers. Because as growth marketers, and we have growth marketing in our DNA as a company, because the founders were growth driven people, is that a lot of times we focus on acquisition, activation. And when you see, you know, things growing, you may forget your existing customers, which is the most important thing that you have. So I think that you should hire a customer success team early on. And even if you cannot do that in the early days, you should do that on your own as a founder and the rest of your team.
And what's your favorite online tools, example, Gmail or Slack?
I think Slack, it's much better for me. Of course, everybody uses Gmail, but I think Slack is, let's say, more efficient to work with your team. But if you don't put some rules, then everybody will get distracted. So just to let you know, what we're doing is that we ask people to check their Slack every 2 hours. So we don't, let's say, require people to respond to us immediately, because, you know, it's a chat tool. And if everyone from your team is on Slack all day long, then they won't have time for deep work, right? So you need to be a bit careful with that kind of apps.
What is the best way to reach out to you?
You can follow me and add me on LinkedIn. And I also write on our blog. And also, I'm very active on Instagram, because I'm working on some new growth tactics there that I'll be start sharing. So you can just search for my name, Savas Ortigis, and you can find me. And of course, you can email me at Savas, S-A-V-V-A-S, at viral-loops.com.
Savas, I took a lot of notes during this podcast interview. So I'm sure, you know, listeners would have also learned a lot. Thanks a lot for coming on to the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rohit. It was great talking to you. And I hope that I gave some value to our audience.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Life Self Mastery podcast, where we teach you how to start and grow your online business. For more information, visit Rohit's blog at www.lifeselfmastery.com.